Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, January 31st. A bill working its way through the state legislature aims to stop anonymous attack ads from landing in voters' mailboxes during election season. KVNF's Scott Franz has more.
Like several other Colorado politicians, State Senator Rachel Zinziger has been the target of these anonymous mailers. Now the Democrat from Arvada is leading an effort to make sure voters know exactly who is paying for them. Zinziger's bill aims to close a loophole that has allowed the ads to be mailed out without any financial disclosure. Her bill got bipartisan support at a committee hearing on Wednesday. It now heads to the full Senate for a vote. Secretary of State Jenna Griswold and Attorney General Phil Weiser testified in support of the legislation. From the state capitol, I'm Scott Franz.
The clock is ticking for Arizona's legislature to meet a deadline at midnight tonight and pass a deal over the future of the Colorado River. Luke Runyon has the story.
Arizona lawmakers have started taking up legislation tied to a broader agreement among the seven states that rely on the river for drinking and irrigation water. The federal government has told the states to come up with a plan to curb water use in the basin and to avoid seeing its biggest reservoir, Lake Mead, outside Las Vegas, crash. Arizona is the only state that requires its legislature to sign off. Home builders, farmers, cities, and tribes have gathered at the statehouse this year to hammer out the deal's details. If Arizona fails to meet the deadline, a Bureau of Reclamation spokesperson says the agency will get involved to help manage the overtaxed water source. I'm Luke Runyon.
Drought in the Four Corners is placing further stress on farmers bringing their local produce to market. Seeking an opportunity to collaborate, some growers are placing a collective risk in a cooperative, working to expand the reach of their products. For Western Slope Resources Reporting, KSJD's Daniel Razel stopped by a warehouse in downtown Cortez to learn how the co-op helped farms through a difficult year.
It's been a tough season for Four Corners farmers. The USDA has rated the region as being in an exceptional drought, its most extreme rating, for months. Despite that, fresh local produce can be found just off of Main Street in Cortez this winter. 22, 23, 24. Michelle Martz is a farmer at Songhaven Farm in Cajon. Right now, she's laying out squash before customers come through. It's not her squash, but that's not the point. Martz is part of the Southwest Farm Fresh Co-op. It's a way for farmers to collaborate and have a collective risk in their work and get more of their produce in the community.
I think it has great strength because it's very community-based, and to me it's a very radical but a very basic idea of who we are as Americans.
Farmers from Colorado's Western Slope and Northwestern New Mexico share their produce in a network that sends it across the region, including restaurants in Cortez and Telluride. The co-op saves a farmer's time by taking care of the marketing and delivery.
Increase the way we do business, like we're able to grow more vegetables and sell more vegetables to the area's restaurants.
Of course, when you're eating a meal with your produce, that earns some bragging rights to company at the table.
I took two of my friends out to dinner, and we all sat down, and that's when they had my cherry tomatoes and the risotto, so that was really fun.
And when produce isn't shown off as it comes out of a restaurant's kitchen, it's also found on tables as part of the co-op's Harvest Share program.
We lay everything out and we put up a chalkboard that says, take this many carrots or this much onions and this head of broccoli.
That's Kendra Brewer, the co-op's general manager.
And then people can come on through and choose which carrots they want, which tomatoes they want to take home with them.
Using the share program, customers can pick up fresh produce as snow starts to fall outside. All they have to do is pay in advance, joining the farmers on that collective risk, and enjoy several weeks of produce in the summer and fall.
So we've got some red onions from Terrasana Farm, and then right next to those we've got some mixed color carrots from...
This collective produced a delightful array of colors, from the off-whites of garlic to the mixed yellow and purple carrots.
I think it creates a nice feast for the eyes and gets people excited about what they're going to take home.
It's decorative, certainly. And customers like Gretchen Cowan notice, too, as they gush about their love for local food.
Can't believe we're getting tomatoes in December. Feels mostly just kind of feels like Christmas. Getting to like walk down the row of food and pick out all this like beautiful produce to take home.
Moving forward, Brewer has plans to expand the program, like offering individual and family-sized shares, and an ugly produce option to sell the ones that might look a little bruised, but are otherwise fine. She's happy with the feedback so far, a positivity that's carried by the people coming through with kids and friends as they sort through the rainbow in front of them.
It's festive. It's a nice surprise, and they're kind of excited to see these colorful, fresh vegetables out, and it's a meeting point for community members as well as a food pickup.
After a difficult growing year, it's nice to have a reason to celebrate. For Western Slope Resources Reporting, I'm Daniel Reisel.
This story is part of Western Slope Resources Reporting, a collaboration between KSJD, KVNF, and three other radio stations in rural Colorado, made possible with support from the Gates Family Foundation.
In a follow-up story about food sources in the West, Colorado ranks 14th in the country with over 800,000 head of beef cattle in the state. The average American will eat 110 pounds of beef this year. As Eric Gladys reports, diets that emphasize less meat are better for the environment.
Foods produced with fewer greenhouse gas emissions are healthier than foods that create more climate pollution, according to new research published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Diego Rose, the report's lead author, says people typically think of their individual contribution to climate change in terms of gas-guzzling cars or energy-efficient homes.
But they don't tend to think about diet, and I think diet is important. The food sector is responsible for about a quarter of greenhouse gas emissions worldwide. So the choices that we make on what we eat can make an impact on that because it'll affect what foods get produced.
Rose studied the eating habits of over 16,000 people in a single day. He found people whose diets had a lower carbon footprint were eating less red meat and dairy, industries that produce large levels of greenhouse gas emissions and are also high in saturated fat. Healthier diets with a smaller carbon footprint included poultry, whole grains, and plant-based proteins. The lowest carbon footprint group also had lower amounts of important nutrients such as iron, calcium, and vitamin D. I'm Eric Gladys.
And finally today, Colorado Parks and Wildlife is reminding the public that steep fines result from collecting shed antlers before April 30th. Since January 1st, restrictions on collecting shed antlers are in effect on all public lands west of I-25. Violators face a $50 fine plus an $18 surcharge for each illegal antler shed. Parks and Wildlife officers have said that they intend to step up enforcement of the new laws this year. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, January 31st. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.